I'm going to read one poem. It's called Poundmaker's Long Last Walk. It's from the first of the two books of poetry, Fine Matter. The historical setting was that in 1885, there was in the west of Canada what we call the Northwest Rebellion, where the Métis rose up against the Canadian army and tried to drag the Cree in with them. And remarkably, the Cree succeeded by and large in staying out of it. But they still got tabbed at the end, rightly or wrongly. And one of these was Poundmaker, who at one point a whole troop of Canadian forces were attacking his traditional land in mid-Saskatchewan, not far from Saskatoon. He had them pinned down. He could have wiped them out, but he chose not to. He let them go. And eventually, at the end of it, he was among the few Cree leaders who were jailed, not for very long. I think he went to prison in Stony Mountain, Manitoba, in 1885, and was released in 1886. And upon his release, at one point, he walked all the way from Stony Mountain to Blackfoot Crossing to be with Crowfoot, who was the Blackfoot leader who had adopted him. And there he died in July of 1886. Poundmaker is among my list of remarkable human beings. And all you need to do is see a photograph of him and you would un understand why. So the poem crosses time zones. You'll pick that up. And it's almost that it's timeless in the end. So Poundmaker's Long Last Walk, and I'll read the introduction that I wrote as well.
Bouncing.
In March 1886, Poundmaker was released from Stony Mountain Prison and to return to his homeland near Battleford. Unable to live under the rule of government agents, he left in mid-May and walked over 200 miles to be with his adopted father, Crowfoot, at Blackfoot Crossing. He died there on July 4th, 1886. The earth wants to be kind, but cannot. Can be only earth, tender to your step only where her edges curve. The rest is rock and dust, ground out into furrows by the distant tractors. No stones left unturned, they bite and slide underfoot, then roll aside as the land westward rises into grassy crest of burnt gold, crowned with aspen stands that breathe their welcome. South of Batoche, somewhere, the earth smells like home. Bemused, you stop to glance back toward Cut Knife Hill, the Battle River, Fort Battleford, where an earnest young man dressed as a Mountie shows us the corner where you stood with the eight condemned to be hanged, your hand upon each quivering heart as your own heart wept. Beyond tears now, you turn southwest, shed your clothes, and walk upon the water, drum your feet upon the brown face of the South Saskatchewan. At Saskatchewan Landing, you watch a fast boat rupture the river's skin and remark on the way whites plow up everything, a trick your home earth refused to learn. Chanting, you dance on to the forks of the Red Deer, the crossing of Highway 4, the Buffalo Trail. A buffalo waits upon the bridge and nods, would speak, but can find nothing more to say. You climb the riverbank, a coyote trots across the highway, winks once. A ground squirrel stares but cannot comprehend you as you start your climb up a warm column of air. The wind weaves your dance southward and then west above a dry, heaving, grassy sea. At the crest of a cloud, you pause, feel the first touch of storm billow at your ankles before it gathers its fury. But the fury is yours no more. You glimpse the clear blue gleam of the bow, then climb on, shedding your skin. One by one, your bones drop below into the ravines far below. Though they have brought you your bones home to Cut Knife Hill, the earth holds nothing of you. You dance softly on a last edge of light, a flame, a feather slanted into the sun.